Following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, May 30th, 2022.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful, beautiful day it is in Sonoma County. And also today is Memorial Day, and I want to honor Ken's father, Don Norton, and his uncle, Jerry Norton, who served proudly in the military. And I also want to honor Bobby Dorfman. They all served proudly in the military. And you know, it's really interesting. I remember asking my uncle, Nathan, Uncle Nathan, what was it like? Actually, we called him Noonie, which I think is kind of cute. What was war like for you? And my uncle just looked at me and said, any man who's been on the war field, in other words, any man who killed anybody else or had to be in such a horror, you know, such a horrible situation, will never send his son to battle. And my uncle was adamant. He became anti-war. And I really appreciated that he had that kind of sentiment. It really was very important. Let me just tell you a little bit about Memorial Day. It's a federal holiday in the United States for mourning the United States military personnel. You ever ask yourself, what did they die for? They died for our freedoms. Who have died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. It is observed on the last Monday of May. It formally was observed on May 30th from 1868. That goes back a long way to 1970. And at that time, many people visit cemeteries and memorials on Memorial Day to honor and mourn their family members who died in the military. Many volunteers place an American flag on graves of military personnel in national cemeteries. Memorial Day is also considered on some levels the official summer, the beginning of summer in the United States. But of course, you know, June 21st, we celebrate the summer solstice. But it's just amazing. So to all those people that served, you know, my heart goes out to you, and I really appreciate that you did that. And we have to look, you know, there's so many things happening in our world today, and we have to recognize that these men and women that served and went overseas and fought, particularly in World War II, they were fighting to preserve democracy. And right now, it doesn't feel like we're trying to preserve it. It feels like there are people that are trying to undermine it and take away some of our rights. And we must really, really stay vigilant and say, aware of what is going on. Well, you know, today is the last Monday of the month. I can't believe, where did May go? It just flew away, just flew out. And we, of course, we're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge. And I have three people in the studio, including myself, one, two, three, including myself. And we're going to do the pledge. And I'm really excited about that. I also want to do a shout out to the Sixth Street Theater. Ken and I went and we saw Real Women Have Curves. And I'll tell you something, it was just an amazing, amazing play. And I want to thank all the women that participated in it, and a special shout out to their public relations person, Shekinah Black. She does a wonderful, wonderful job. And thank you so much for allowing us to come. And I found out that the play is going to be on next weekend also. So if you're interested in seeing it, contact the Sixth Street Playhouse. Real Women Have Curves. And it just covered everything. It covered self-esteem. It covered oppression. It covered economics, all the different things that women go through, particularly women and children. Well, as I've mentioned several times before, Athena House is closing, or they are attempting to close it, and it's a really very important program for women who are suffering from addictions and also an alternative to incarceration. And I just want to make the first announcement, and you can see this on our website on June 13th, and I will be announcing it more and more, but just an idea. At 6 o'clock, the National Organization for Women is going to be doing a Zoom. We're going to be trying to gather all women to get together to see and how we can support the organization and how we can help keep it open. I mean, this is a very, very important program. And once again, our women are put on the chopping block. And it's very important that we keep this play open. I mean, it's really sad. You know, it was really interesting. Before we went on the air, Grace was telling me that when she was in China, one of her teachers said, which I feel just touched my heart to remind people, that women hold up half the sky. I mean, that really touched my heart. Women hold up half the sky. That means that we have a right to choice. We have a right to a voice. We have a right to speak out, especially in these times. And I have to say, this weekend, with what happened in Texas, I spent most of the weekend not only watching YouTube and listening to all the events and watching the memorial, to think that 19 children. Let me just read something that I wrote a while back. You know, my girlfriend, I have a real dear friend by the name of Debbie Manger. Debbie used to own the Coffee Cats up in Sebastopol. And I went over to her house. She made lunch for me and we were visiting. And she had this beautiful, beautiful picture of her grandson, Max. And I said to Debbie, I says, what is Max all about? What is he like? What's it like? I forgot. You know, my grandkids are all grown up. I forgot at that time, what is the child like? And you know, I wrote this poem. This is what she said about Max. Come play for Max. And I wrote this poem specifically for him to give you an idea of the innocence of children. For Max, come play with me. I do not care if you come from afar or what color you are. Come play with me. Come play with me. Come play. Max was about 9 years old when I saw that picture. The children that were shot in Texas, the oldest child was 10 years old in the fourth grade. I could not believe it. And I could not believe the incompetence that happened around that situation. I mean, my heart is broken for all these. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, I'm a great-grandmother. And I cannot help but go to the space of visualizing suddenly, oh my God, what if that was my child? What if I got that phone call? You know, I remember one time my grandson got in trouble and my daughter called me about 11 o'clock at night. You know, grandma, she says, Mom, you know, this happened and blah, blah, blah. I got off the phone and ran up and down the hallway screaming. He wasn't killed. He wasn't shot. He just got in trouble and he was facing maybe some consequences that might hurt him. And that was the reaction I had. Imagine the reaction if all of a sudden you find your child is trapped in a room with a gunman. I mean, it is just amazing. And I came up with this. I came up with this idea. And the idea is, as women particularly, you know, once you become a mother, you know, once you make that commitment, it is a life commitment. It is a lifetime commitment. And you always, there's not one mother out there that doesn't want her child to go to school, to go to play at a friend's house, to be safe, to have some sort of security. I know there's a few bad apples out there, but the majority of women who become mothers are very, very committed. I mean, I know all my friends are. I mean, you know, and when I look on Facebook and I see all these darling little children, and I think to myself, my God, they didn't ask to be born. It's our responsibility to give them a world that is safe, a world that they can eat, they can play, they can be normal children. I mean, these children, that town in Texas is never going to be the same again. So I came up with this idea, you know, as women, first of all, pay attention to all the petitions that are going around. There's a lot of petitions going around to have about gun control. Sign them. You know, we've got to have some sensible gun control, at least have background checks, at least have, you know, extend the age to 21. They've had 8 killings And each, the oldest person among those killings, these how do they call them, these horrible situations that happened, the oldest one was 20 years old. To me, 20 years old is a baby. I mean, you're just getting your feet on the ground. You're just trying to understand what the world is like. You know, you've graduated high school. You know, what am I going to do? Where am I going? That's young. So I think if we had the age at 21, perhaps this gunman would not have been able to get a gun. And the horrific part about it was is that the National Rifle Association was holding their annual event. And as far as I'm concerned, that event is a trade show because they're showing everybody the latest weaponry that people can buy on the market. Out of respect to those children, out of respect to what happened, they should have postponed that meeting and maybe put it forward for a month. I mean, a whole community was grieving. I mean, it's very, very, very sad when I think about it. I mean, I cried. I mean, I don't even want to go into it. But what I thought about was, if we could get this in our mind, every child is our child. And why do I say that? Because what happens to another mother's child can very well happen to my child. And that is something that has to be thought about. The other thought I thought I had was, every child is my child. You know, what I want for my child, I want for every child. As long as there's one child that is not fed or doesn't have a home, that's the potential for any child. And then the next thought, you know, and the thought that I heard, I think it was Senator Booker, I think he was the one that said that. He said, when those children were killed in that classroom, you killed the future. You killed the future for that family, for that community. So I thought of this other idea, is to think about the children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. So if we could just get that in our head, every child is our child. Every child is my child. The children are our future. We must never lose sight of that. And then stand up. Write your congressmen. Write your senators. Write your local people. We want some sort of gun control. We want some sort of regulations. You know, we're all fighting for the Second Amendment, you know, the right to bear arms. It says a well-regulated militia. That means a well-regulated body of people who are armed to protect us. It doesn't necessarily mean the whole population, but that's the way it's being taken. And because we have over 400 million guns out there, we really have to pay attention to what's going on. And I believe as women, we were endowed by the Creator to bring forth life. A man plants a seed, and that's the end of it. It's our bodies that bring forth that future, our minds and bodies that bring forth that future. And we have to stand up for every child, and we have to stand up for their rights, and we have to stand up for our right to have choice whether we're going to have a child or not. Because the most fruitful child is the most wanted child. An accident is very difficult when all of a sudden a woman all of a sudden finds herself pregnant and say, oh, maybe she's going to school. Maybe she doesn't have enough money. Maybe there's all kinds of things. It's none of our business. It's none of our business what choice that woman makes. But she has a right to make that choice. And we have no right to judge. I mean, you heard an Amy Goodman show before me about this poor woman that went through this horrific pregnancy. And in today's world, with the laws that they're writing, that she would be accused of murdering a fetus? I mean, come on, give me a break. So there's a lot to think about. And, you know, I have to say, I am so sad. I am so sad over what happened. It should have never happened. It should have never happened. And another question that I believe we need to ask ourselves, you know, we call this young man who did the shooting or all those young deranged, you know, they're mentally ill, they're sick. Instead of doing that, we have to ask ourselves, what is it in our culture that this person gets up in the morning and decides that they're going to go to an elementary school and kill children. We need to look at that. That's beyond mental health to me. There's something in the culture. There's something going on in our world that is creating this, and we have to look at it, and we have to be not afraid to look at it. Well, you know, we're going to be doing the Women's Spaces Pledge, and when I think about it, when I think about the words, my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me, that means when you're standing up and you're saying enough is enough, your self-esteem is intact, and you know that you have a right to speak. And then the next line is, my self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself. That means you love yourself, you know yourself, you respect yourself, you honor yourself. And then your higher power, that means you know that you're living in a universe. You know, when I was thinking of women hold up 50% of the sky. I mean, think about that. That's a very metaphysical thought. That's your higher power. What is the sky? Sometimes I go out in my backyard and I look out in the sky and I look at the moon or the stars and I say, where are we? This magical place we live in. We live on this planet in this mysterious universe. And God only knows how we ever get around without falling off the planet. It's a mystery we're living in. There's a mystery. I mean, it's just to me so exciting. And yet, what are we doing? Running around having wars and killing each other. I mean, it's pathetic. So I'm going to ask Grace if you will join me. Will you join me, Grace? And I'm going to ask Ken. Ken, will you join me?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge today. And let's take it to heart. And also, if you want a copy of the pledge, go on www.womenspaces.com and you can make yourself a copy. So let's go ahead. I'm going to say the first line and then you repeat after me. Okay, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I started. My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything outside of me. My self-esteem
depends
on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Oh, is that beautiful? That is such a beautiful thing. And now I'm just going to say it, and then we're going to take a musical break. My self-esteem. And let me tell you something. I read this 3 times before I go on the air. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. What a beautiful thought. And you know, I'm looking at higher power, and I'm thinking of the Native American way. You know, when I went to see Riona LaDuke, you know, she kept saying, great spirit guide me. And I want to say great spirit. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and the great spirit, the great mystery. I mean, think about it, folks. There's so much to appreciate. And I know there are people out there that are struggling. Even in struggling, you can stop for a moment and look at a tree, look at a flower. Look at another human being walking and say, wow, we can walk and talk and we can write and read and do all these things. Take a moment to appreciate that your life, that you're living, that you're a living being, and that you can make choices in this world. And please work for love, work for peace, and work for opportunity for all of us to make good, good choices. And you know, when we're all fed, we all have a nice shelter, you know, and we have some sort of spiritual life. We make better choices. We make a lot better choices than when we're struggling. And have compassion. You know, have compassion and don't be afraid to speak out. Don't be afraid to stand up for the future and for the children. Well, that's a lot to say. Except I forgot one thing, and that is we're going to do a little section of My History is My Strength. I forgot all about it. I'm so wound up about this whole shooting. So I'm going to announce a few things here. You know, here it is Memorial Day, right? And on May 29th, 1943, which is very interesting, I was 3 years old, Rosie the Riveter, the Norman Rockwell picture, appears on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post. Rosie the Riveter. You know who Rosie the Riveter was? A group of women who went into the factories and produced all that we needed to fight that horrible war. And you know something? It took a year and the United States was geared up to go. So you can't tell me that we can't gear up fast. We geared up so fast at that time, it was just amazing. I remember my mother telling me stories about that. And then again, here we have some happy birthdays. And it's interesting because, you know, we're fighting so hard for the environment. And May 27th, 1907 and is her birthday. And she passed away in 1964. It was the first book that really impacted me about the environment. It's the birthday of Rachel Carson, scientist and environmentalist, who wrote Silent Spring, which became a cornerstone of the modern environmental protection movement. So happy birthday, Rachel Carson. You did us a great service. Unfortunately, we didn't pay attention to it quick enough, but you definitely did a great service. I mean, that's when I first got into organic food, when I read her book. I said, oh my God, pesticides, I don't want to kill my child. And another birthday, it's very interesting. You know, what I try to do on the show is I try to honor women, because women of every ethnicity are make contributions to this world. And most of the time we hear more about men than we hear about women. And I want to do a shout out to Molly McGregor from the National History Alliance that was founded here in Sonoma County for all the information that she brings forward about all the variety of women who have made a contribution. And this woman is very, very special. On May 31st, she was born in 1912. Now, 1912, we didn't even have the vote. And at that time, they were building the railroads, and they were really, I mean, it was horrendous what was happening with Chinese people at that time. But Chen Shengwu, she was a renowned physicist, the first Chinese American elected to a National Academy of Sciences in 1958, the first woman elected president of American Physical Society in 1975, and she received the National Medal of Science in 1975. Wow. Chen Shengwu. Now, that might be an unusual name and sound funny, but look at the contribution that she made. And that's the beauty of the United States. You know, my people came from Poland and Russia. People come from China, from all over the world live here. You know, we're kind of like a melting pot. And we have to appreciate that. I mean, just think, if all these cultures didn't come in, we would be lacking forever and ever and ever. Anyway, that's a lot to think about. And then one last woman, which I think is very, very important. In May, she was born in May 31st, 1928, and she's still alive. And her name is Sonia Pressman Fuentes, a Hispanic woman. She was one of the co-founders of the National Organization for Women, the first woman attorney in office of the General Counsel at the EEOC, the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And this is very interesting. I really did not know this existed. The purpose of the EEOC, it regulates and guides when Congress passes a law prohibiting discrimination. The EEOC often issues regulations that interpret that law. So that's a very, very important position. So happy birthday to Sonia Pressman Fuentes. Boy, that's a lot. Well, there's a lot of women that we have to be proud of. I mean, I'm proud every time I read about a woman that's come forward and done something so special. And you know what's so interesting about these women? They fought against odds. They fought against odds to get where they're getting and to be able to bring certain things forward for all of us to appreciate. And we have to think about that and recognize it and appreciate it. Well, we're going to take a musical break now. And of course, I try to find the best songs that I could find that match the moment of the day. And I love Etta James. I love Etta James. And she did a recording of Marvin Gaye. He was the one who did What's Going On. And we're going to play that because I want to know what is going on in this world. How are we tolerating what is happening? How are we allowing these politicians to get away without making some movement, some regulations, some way of protecting our children? You know, they're so concerned about the fetus. That's a bunch of BS. If they were really concerned about the fetus, they would make sure that when that fetus comes out and becomes a child, that it has everything in place that it can have a decent, safe life. You know, and I was reading, I've been doing a lot of research in the Bible, and one of the things I found is in the Bible it says, until the first breath, it's not considered life. So what's all the rigmarole about? We're all calling ourselves Christian, and that's why we're protecting this. But we really have to think about it. So what's going on? So let's go ahead and play that song, Ken, and when we return, joining me in the studio is Grace Chung Schulman, who is the founder, one of the co-founders of AAPI, the Asian American and Pacific Islander Coalition of Sonoma County. We'll be talking about some of the challenges and concerns that Asian Americans have, not only in our county, but in the United States of America as a whole. So let's go ahead, Ken.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. Oh, you know we got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Oh, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. And you know, we got to find a way. There's picket signs, and don't punish me with brutality. Hey, talk to me so you can see all what's going on. I wanna know what's going on, and
going on. Wow. And I love Etta James. I'll tell you, Etta James, I found her once again. She was from my childhood, my youth. But boy, I just rediscovered her, and she has just done some great, great songs. For you just joining, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest joining me in the studio, Grace Chung Shulman. Welcome, Grace. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you. Good morning.
I'm so happy to see you here. You know, before we begin, I would like to tell our listening audience just a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Well, Grace Chung Shulman was born and raised in Hong Kong. She left Hong Kong to study music and education in Canada. Upon her return, she pursued an arts management career, administrating music copyright and art festivals, and performing arts program. She has an MBA degree from the State University of New York at Binghamton, where she worked before relocating to Sonoma County. In Sonoma County in Santa Rosa, she worked for 4.5 years as the music director at her church and co-directed musicals at the 6th Street Playhouse. We just saw a wonderful play, Grace, at the 6th Street Playhouse. Grace is concerned about the environment, social justice, and Palestinian rights. As a volunteer photographer and technical support person for local nonprofits, which included the Southeast Greenway Campaign and Homeless Action. Currently, she is a freelance events and fine arts photographer. Clients include Sonoma Valley Museum of Art. In 2021, she co-founded and co-chaired the AAPI Coalition of the North Bay, which is AAPIC, in response to the rise of anti-Asian violence in this country. Well, welcome, Grace, and is there anything else that you would like to add?
I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's start from the beginning. Talk a little bit. You know, here you were born in Hong Kong, you know, you traveled to Canada to study, and here you end up in the United States. What was your motivation for coming to the United States?
Well, since I was growing up, I have always wanted to travel overseas, particularly to the Western countries. And because Hong Kong is such a small place, very crowded, at that time when I was growing up, there were not a lot of opportunities, particularly in education and jobs and so on. And all my brothers have studied overseas. I said, why not? I'll go overseas. And that's how I got to Canada to pursue my degree in music and education. And I returned to Hong Kong, but I've always wanted to go back. And I had the opportunity to go to Binghamton University, study for an MBA. And that's how I got there.
So you stayed in the United States?
Yes. I got married and stayed in the United States, yes.
So what brought you to Sonoma County?
Well, that's a long story. Another long story. My husband passed away, and I had no family attachment from that part of the country. And also, that was a very cold winter, and I thought to myself, do I really want to stay here? So I thought, okay, I'm going to go west to see what opportunities there are, and I found out there is something called co-housing, since I do not have family, no children, and I thought that would be a great way to belong to a community. So I did some research. Drove around in upstate New York area and Massachusetts to find out what co-housing is like. And then I found an opportunity on the West Coast, first with a Cotati, they call it Frog Song co-housing, and also Yulupa co-housing. And that time they were just started, and they didn't even have any building or complete their plans. But I flew to the West Coast to check in on this on my way to Australia to see my brother. And I liked the idea. So 3 months after that, I drove across the country with my dog, and here I am.
Boy, you are definitely the kind of woman we like in women's spaces. I mean, what a great story. I mean, what a lot of courage that took. I mean, here you are just a lone woman, you know, with your dog, you know. I mean, amazing. Well, I'm glad you made it here. I really am, and I really appreciate you being here in the studio. I know I found out about your organization through one of the events I went that my dear friend Nancy Wyong sponsored, and I was very, very impressed, and I remember calling you, and that was the first beginning. So why don't you, you know, you are the co-chair of one of the co-founders of the Asian American and Pacific Islander of the North Bay. Talk about who they are and what some of the challenges that the Asian community is having here in our community that inspired you to start this organization.
Well, first we started meeting on Zoom, of course, it's still the pandemic, in about June of last year. It was just a group of friends who are saying, let's do something about this anti-Asian violence. We're concerned about the small businesses, the Asian small businesses in the county who are suffering from the pandemic, not only because of the lack of customers and economic downturn, but also the fear of the violence coming through their door. And so we got together as a group to talk about what should we do to show them support. Some of friends actually go out to the stores and talk to the owners and say, we are here to support you. But then there is still very vague as to what we can do. But after meeting every 2 weeks for several months, we got ourselves a mission statement, and we organized ourselves, found ourselves a fiscal sponsor so that we can operate as a nonprofit. And the maybe I'll say something about the mission statement.
Go ahead.
There are mainly three things we're looking for. We want to celebrate culture, which can be, we highlight and empower all AAPI perspectives and learning through sharing histories and personal stories. The second is to empower community. Community is a very important keyword for us. We want to identify and address the needs and strengths of the community and bring forward healing, educational, and celebratory spaces. And thirdly, promote positive change through advocacy for the AAPI community by addressing racism and leading discussions surrounding current AAPI issues.
Wow, that's a beautiful, beautiful mission. Well, let me ask you, exactly who are the AAPI? How do you identify the people? I know it's really interesting when it comes to Asian people. People always make a mistake. You know, you say, oh, you're Japanese, when they're really, you know, there's this. So who is considered in our community here, who are Asians?
First of all, this is a term that had been put together by some other people. So we adopted this AAPI as something that we understand. When you say AAPI, we know it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Americans who live in the United States. And I have got a rough numbers that was given to me. There are about AAPI is about 23 million Americans in the country. And it is made up of 50 ethnic groups with roots in more than 40 countries.
Wow.
And in Sonoma County, the AAPI group is relatively small, is only 5%, 4.6% Asian, and about 0.4% Pacific Islanders, which made up of Fijians, Samoans, Tongans, and so on. And of course, we speak in many different languages, too. We all try to communicate in English, and also the dialects. Just imagine when I speak to my Chinese friends, I speak in English. Because I speak Cantonese, they may speak Mandarin or and also the spelling, if they write the names, I can immediately tell where they come from, which diaspora, Chinese diaspora they come from.
That's amazing. You know, I never quite thought of it that way, you know, that there's all the different languages and all the different ethnicity and all the different ways people, the cultures are so different. Well, what in our community, what are some of the challenges that they are facing? I mean, besides the business, I mean, you talked about the racism, and we know what's going on in the country, especially ever since when they said it was the China flu or whatever name they put on it, and which created a lot of this violence. Talk a little bit about that. What is involved in this community and even the North Bay, because it is of the North Bay.
Yes. We are a very, very diverse community, as I mentioned about the different ethnicity and languages and so on. And not only that, but depending on how long you have come to the country and established yourself and the family, and then compared to the people just came off the boat. That's a very, very diverse economic circumstances for them. And so on the one hand, there is a document currently available called The Portrait of Sonoma County, which is the second version compared to the first one was in 2014. This current one is 2001. It paints a picture that Asian living in Sonoma County has the highest HDI, which means Human Development Index, was measured by education, economic circumstances, and education opportunities, and so on. However, we find that in the last year, from the, you know, just 2016 to now, there is a decline of the Asian HDI index, which is even higher than the whites. But it has been going down. Why? Because there are lots of new immigrants from Asia. And actually, I was given a number from somebody else. In the United States, 2/3 of Asian Americans are immigrants, like myself. And the Asians are the largest group among the new immigrants in the United States. Now, of course, Sonoma County is slightly different in that sense. We don't have a Chinatown or Japantown, Koreantown. And because of that, we are so geographically scattered that it's difficult to get to find people, to find community. And we're finding very hard to do so. One of the ways we're doing it is through our networking with other community groups, say, for instance, the Chinese groups. The Chinese group, Chinese people have the Redwood Empire Chinese Association. The Filipinos have the FANHS, FANHS, which stands for Filipino American National Historical Society. And then also we have the JACL, which is the Japanese American Citizens League of Sonoma County. And so we're trying to rally with them, is a coalition, right? And starting from there. And then hopefully they will grow and we will grow with them.
What a wonderful concept. I mean, to gather all these different people together, even though they're different, they're still not different. There's still a body of people that can identify with one another on many, many different levels. You know, I was just thinking as you were speaking, you know, about Chinatown and Japanese town and all that in San Francisco. And here we're so scattered, and, you know, to bring everybody together. Well, here in the community, though, itself, has this particular body of people had any racism, any things that they've, any attacks or anything that's happened to them personally that you know of?
Not that I heard of, in the sense of somebody being knocked down. Yes, there is a fear. And say, for instance, I spoke to a Vietnamese coffee shop owner, and he said he has not noticed anything. People usually very friendly coming through the door and very supportive as well. But he has heard of stories from the suppliers who come to supply the store. and happening in East Bay, and he's worried. And he said, when I go out with my parents, I watch them carefully, and I want to make sure they don't go out on their own.
Well, I think, you know, I think right now, you know, when you start thinking about it, there are so many fears. You know, I mean, just imagine what parents are feeling. I mean, it's going to be summer vacation, but what they're going to feel like when you have to bring your children back to school. I mean, is it going to be safe? I mean, a lot of us are feeling, you know, are we all going to be threatened? What is going on here? You know, why is there such, you know, there feels to be so much hatred. I just don't understand it. You know, when we call, I always go back to our money. You know, one nation under God, mm-hmm. you know, then God's supposed to be the God of love. You know, why do we have all this separation? Well, talk a little bit about how people become members. I mean, how do you find the people? How do you get them to become a member? And what are some of the events maybe that you've had in the past or that you're looking forward to?
I think the best way to connect with us is subscribing to our email list. We currently do not have a website. We are hardly just 1 year old, you know, getting together as a group. But we meet every month on the third Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. on Zoom. And you get to know about that by subscribing to our email list. You'll get the Zoom link. And another way easier is to go to Facebook, if you use Facebook, is to search for AAPI Coalition of the North Bay, and you will see it is a blue logo. It's a navy blue logo, APIC. And you would get to know about our latest activities, our meetings, as well as how to become a member.
Do you accept anybody as a member, or do you have to be Asian?
No, you don't have to be Asian or AAPI. If you support the causes of AAPI people. Okay. Anybody can. And of course, anybody can subscribe to the email list as well. Another easier way to, if you have a pen, write down apic.northbay@gmail.com. APIC is APIC.northbay@gmail.com. And we are, it is like everybody has websites nowadays. We haven't got one, unfortunately. Go to Facebook and find us.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you allow all sorts of ethnicity to join. I know for myself, what I say all the time is, like, I belong to many African American organizations, and what I say is that familiarity brings love. That's how I believe. You get to know people, you see we're all there. We're really not any different. We all need the same thing: love, understanding, compassion, all those good things. And it's a way to get to know people. And the more you get to know people, the less fear you have. You know, would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I am also trying to make connections with the Black community as well as the Latino community through my personal contact. When we are more organized, we will definitely want to hold events and other things with them. And they are reaching out to me, and I'm reaching out to them.
Well,
it's so important.
It is. We must, you know, we must come together. Come on, people, smile on each other. Let's get together, you know, and love one another. Get to know each other, you know, shake hands.
Yeah, of course, I don't want to forget the white folks, too. because I can tell you, I married a white man, a Jewish American, and all my activities are with white people. I'm usually the only Asian face in the group. But that does not bother me. I come to, which I thought is a Western country, and I'm here to learn. I'm here to blend in. I'm here to learn more things. And, you know, and only recently, because of the AAPIC, that I'm beginning to say, look around and say, hey, I don't have any Asian friends. Now I have lots, and I'm happy for that.
Well, Grace Chung Shulman, you've been an absolute delight to be on Women's Spaces. Give us your website. Give us the email or whatever information you have one more time before we say goodbye.
It is aapic.northbay@gmail.com.
And I want to remind all our listeners that all the information that Grace has given will be on www.womenspaces.com. And any announcements you have, Grace, please feel free to always let us know. I'm happy to announce it on the radio when you start doing your events and everything. And thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here.
Thank you.
Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful interview. And another opportunity to learn about another woman who said, hey, wait a minute, there's a problem here. I want to meet people. I'm gonna just put my big toe out there, maybe get together a few people, have a Zoom. And here they met for a few months, and all of a sudden they have this organization, and they're moving forward, and they're doing something, not only for their own people, but reaching out to all people so we can all come together. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And for me, it is very inspiring. So I am very, very excited about that. Well, we're going to take another musical break here. And there's a song that I love, because what is going on now, you know, what's going on, you know, and when you listen to folks like Grace, you know, you realize that there's a lot of positive things going on, but also there's still a lot of questioning. And this song to me questions everything. It's called Pale Moon, and it's sung by Becky Hobbs. And before we go into it, just real quickly, I'm going to read a poem. And then listen to the song. And the poem says, the name of the poem is, I wrote it myself, it's You Might Say I Am a Dreamer. Last night I had a beautiful dream about life and all it could mean. I dreamt how beautiful it was to live when the entire world learned to give. Humankind at last learned how to use their highest level of thought, making wars no longer, peace was taught. Prejudice was a thing in the past. All humankind became equal at last. The cry of hunger and pain were no longer heard every day. Humans learned to give and help each other along the way. How beautiful it was to live. How great to give. Peace at last and hate in the dim past. And mistrust were unheard of. All humans were trusting and loving to one another. With a start, I woke up from my beautiful dream. I opened my ears and my eyes, hearing and seeing all of humankind's cries. Tears of sorrow fell down my face as I vowed to help change this place.
My old friend, Hellman, what is the meaning of life? I long to hear, speak to my spirit tonight. White man's measured by what he has, and Indians by what he gives. We must learn from our broken past. There must be a better way for us to live. Help us to give, to learn and to live and to love. destined to be who we are. Help us learn before it's too late. We're one planet, one people, one heart. Pale moon, what is the meaning of life? Come to my dreams, sing me your sweet lullaby.
Well,
I long to know.
Well, that's it for our show, folks. I want to give a special thank you to Grace Chung Shulman for being such a wonderful guest. She just made it. Let me know that they are going to have a program on June 10th at 6 p.m. It's going to be a movie, Geography of Kinship, and we will announce it on the next week's show, give you more details, and also it will be on our website. Remember, we must never lose sight that the children are our future. And a reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening, and I'm really excited about that. I get to listen to my own show. And, you know, hug your child. Hug your husband. Hug your best friend. Let people know that you love them. Let people know that you're there for them. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening. And I look forward to being with you the next time. And remember, everything that's been discussed on this show will be on www.womenspaces.com.
And who is sure to give you courage? And who will surely make you stronger? Who will bear all the joy that is coming to you? If not a woman in your life, she's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, May 30th, 2022.